The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, and he's going to be covering the World Affairs Brief and the issues that really face us today from Joel Skousen's point of view. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the media is controlled. You're not getting the truth. We live in a very special society where access to information is carefully regulated by what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why programs such as this is so vitally important, so that you can get the information that they don't want you to get. You can begin to see the world clearly. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, the top story this week in the brief is further revelations about the NSA spying scandal. Collect it all. That's how the NSA's intentions were described this week by insiders from within the agency. And that's not likely to change, despite a growing number of rights groups and private individuals filing suit over the unconstitutional violation of our privacy. The government is working hard to keep this issue from spawning any meaningful change, and it likely won't, thanks to a U.S. press that is eager to inflame headlines like the Trayvon Martin incident into front page news ahead of this story. Meanwhile, controlled judges will continue to consistently rule in favor of the government position. Fortunately, despite these snow jobs, further revelations this week added to the information already revealed about these programs. Glenn Greenwald of the UK Guardian continues to pour out the leaks about U.S. spying and collusion with private internet and telephone companies. He says, quote, "The files provided by Edward Snowden illustrate the scale of cooperation between Silicon Valley and the intelligence agencies over the last 3 years. Microsoft helped the NSA to circumvent its own encryption to address concerns that the agency would be unable to intercept web chats on the new Outlook.com portal. The agency already had pre-encryption stage access to email on Outlook.com, including Hotmail. The company worked with the FBI this year to allow the NSA easier access via Prism to its cloud storage service, SkyDrive, which now has more than 250 million users worldwide. Microsoft also worked with the FBI's data intercept unit to understand potential issues with a feature in Outlook.com that allows users to create email aliases. In July last year, 9 months after Microsoft bought Skype, the NSA boasted that a new capability had tripled the amount of Skype video calls being collected through Prism. Material collected through Prism is routinely shared with the FBI and CIA, with one NSA document describing the program as a quote-unquote team sport. In June, The Guardian revealed that the NSA claimed to have direct access through the Prism program to the systems of many major internet companies, including Microsoft, Skype, Apple, Google, Facebook, and Yahoo. End quote. The Associated Press reports that Glenn Greenwald, who first reported Edward Snowden's disclosures of U.S. surveillance programs, has said the former National Security Agency analyst has, quote, very specific blueprints about how the NSA do what they do, end quote. Glenn Greenwald says Snowden has literally thousands of documents that constitute basically the instruction manual for how the NSA is built, but that Snowden has insisted that details from the documents not be made public. End quote. The Guardian continues by noticing the embarrassment of U.S. companies caught colluding with the NSA and their latest attempts to regain public confidence. Joel says, good luck with that. Quote, the latest NSA revelations further expose the tensions between Silicon Valley and the Obama administration. All the major tech firms are lobbying the government to allow them to disclose more fully the extent and nature of their cooperation with the NSA to meet their customers' privacy concerns. Privately, Tech executives are at pains to distance themselves from claims of collaboration and teamwork given by the NSA documents and insist the process is driven by legal compulsion. Joel says, with extreme hypocrisy, Google, Skype, and Microsoft continue to play up their commitment to personal privacy. Continue with the quote. Microsoft's latest marketing campaign, launched in April, emphasizes its commitment to privacy with the slogan, "Your privacy is our priority." Similarly, Skype's privacy policy states, "Skype is committed to respecting your privacy and the confidentiality of your personal data, traffic data, and communications content." Google says, "We will ask you for your consent before using information for a purpose other than those set out in this privacy policy." Joel notes, "Except when involved with sharing with the government, of course." Der Spiegel this week also attacked the American media for denigrating Snowden and the UK Guardian while refusing to decry U.S. spying. In other words, the U.S. media is a shill for government. Quote, "As the mainstream American press goes after NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden and Guardian journalist Glenn Greenwald, the leaker's revelations are becoming an afterthought. Walter Pincus, 80, knows his way around a scandal. The columnist and former reporter at the Washington Post has written about Watergate and Iran-Contra, numerous intelligence-related affairs, and has won the Pulitzer Prize. But he has been criticized, even by his colleagues, for being too close to the government, especially the CIA, for which he spied in his younger years. But now Pincus has truly embarrassed himself. Last week, the Washington Post had to add a three-paragraph-long correction to a two-day-old Pincus column, invalidating its core claims. This was an unprecedented measure in the 136-year history of the American Capitol's most lauded newspaper. Pincus had speculated that whistleblower Edward Snowden, as well as the two people centrally responsible for publicizing the NSA revelations, Guardian reporter Glenn Greenwald and documentary filmmaker Laura Poitras, had a political agenda and were surreptitiously directed by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Pincus's quote-unquote evidence turned out to be demonstrably false, rendering the corrected column, or what was left of it, little more than malicious gossip. There's another reason for the United Media Front. The Guardian is becoming a competitive threat for American media outlets. The first Snowden video interview received almost 7 million clicks on the newspaper's U.S. website. "They set the U.S. news agenda today," Associated Press star reporter Matt Apuzzo tweeted enviously. Why? Janine Gibson, the Guardian's American chief, told the Huffington Post that their competition has a lack of skepticism on a whole when it comes to national security. "Critical scrutiny," she said, "has been considered unpatriotic since 9/11. End of the Der Spiegel quote. Joel says, "The Guardian is being overly generous. In reality, the globalists who control the U.S. government have co-opted the mainstream media as well, including
all the thoughts, like
Fox News. Lawsuits against the government are accumulating, though.
We'll be right back.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs: long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm, or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen, and basically we're talking about NSA surveillance. And of course they tell us, oh, we're collecting all this information because we want to protect you. And that really isn't true. The basis of American foreign policy is establishing a one-world totalitarian government under a one-world control. And we're collecting information on people all over the world, and it's all being stored electronically. Every telephone call you make is recorded and kept. Every email, every fax, everything that you do electronically, they're collecting, and it's not just you, it's on everyone. And believe me, the people who are running this subversive movement behind the scenes really believe that there are too many people in the world. We need to limit the population of the world. And we need to know exactly what people think and believe. And I really believe that's how they're going to determine who will survive the period of government turmoil and who will not. It's all unconstitutional. It has nothing to do with protecting us. It has everything to do with the global government, the coming global government. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we are discussing this NSA issue, and we are quoting at the end of Der Spiegel about why the American press doesn't give national security issues critical scrutiny. Then Janine Gibson, the Guardian's American chief, says that critical scrutiny has been considered unpatriotic since 9/11. But Joel says it's much, much more than that. In reality, the globalists who control the U.S. government have co-opted the mainstream media as well, including faux conservative outlets like Fox News. They are shills for government and distort the truth by refusing to reveal anything about the control system they are part of, which really runs our government. These journalists may not know everything about it, but they refuse to reveal what they do know, either out of loyalty to the system or out of fear of becoming another dead Michael Hastings, who apparently dug too deep and had a quote-unquote accident. EU governments have become pitiful lackeys for U.S. globalists, as exemplified by Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. Patrick Henningsen summarized her weak-kneed opposition in a piece published by Russia Today. Quote, Germany's change of direction on this issue reveals a lot about the scale of the problem. Angela Merkel's initial public response seemed to be that of outrage, Joel notes, obviously feigned. We are no longer in the Cold War, said Angela Merkel's spokesman, Stefan Seibert. It is as if confirmed that diplomatic representations of the European Union and individual European countries have been spied upon. We will clearly say that bugging friends is unacceptable. Merkel's public facade didn't hold up for long after Snowden revealed in Der Spiegel magazine only days later that the U.S. and Germany were in fact partnering in the global spy network. They are in bed with the Germans, just like with most other Western states, the German magazine quotes Snowden as saying, adding that the NSA has a foreign affairs directorate which is responsible for cooperation with other countries. The Der Spiegel report also indicated how German Federal Intelligence Service, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, BND, and NSA work together. The embarrassment of this Snowden bombshell seemed to force Germany down a notch, with Merkel opting for a new policy of appeasement instead. Merkel told Die Zeit that there was a need to discuss the balance between privacy and security, but protection against terrorism was not possible without the option of electronic surveillance, Joel says, the universal excuse. She then added, I want the necessary discussions with the United States to be conducted in the spirit which, despite the many justified questions, never forgets that America has been our most loyal ally over the decades and still is. But it's Merkel's last statement which indicates she may just be out of touch with public opinion, as the culture of denial which still dominates Washington, D.C. Joel says, it's not denial, but in-your-face defiance of the Constitution. For me, there is no comparison at all between the state security, Stasi, of the GDR and the work of intelligence services in democratic states, Merkel told Die Zeit. Incredible. No real accountability. Putting the overall theme of government abuse of power into perspective, this week provided a solid example of what should happen in an advanced civilized democracy. Snowden's revelations should have been a watershed moment, but instead, in 2013, there appears to be no parliamentary controls to regulate the practice of warrantless digital surveillance and data theft on the part of government agencies, and even less chance of justice in the courts. Where adjudicators have been rendered impotent to enforce the law which has been buried under an avalanche of emergency wartime edicts and executive orders, end quote. Lawsuits against the government are accumulating, even as the press keeps trying to rationalize them away. It is ironic that the official government news outlet, Voice of America, had the best summary. They said, quote, the coalition, represented by a digital rights advocacy group called the Electronic Frontier Foundation, filed a lawsuit Tuesday. It claims the spying by the country's clandestine national security agency is an illegal and unconstitutional program of dragnet electronic surveillance. The lawsuit is the sixth filed against the government seeking to end its vast collection of telephone and internet records in the aftermath of former U.S. intelligence contractor Edward Snowden leaking details of two secret NSA surveillance programs last month. The NSA collects what it calls metadata about the phone calls, the phone numbers Americans are calling, and the length of the calls. End quote. It's very unlikely that the courts will side with citizens. Judges are mostly corrupt, the NSA has dirt on most of them, and almost always protect illegal government acts. Once in a while, someone will admit wrongdoing, but it usually only means he will retire early. There has been a former judge who resigned over spying. James Robertson, a former FISA court judge, gave some critical remarks about the secret court, but he is largely keeping silent, just like all the military types who see wrongdoing and fail to blow the whistle until it's quote-unquote safe to do so. The Associated Press tells a story of his revelations while testifying in Washington about flaws in the secret court. Quote, a former federal judge who served on a secret court overseeing the National Security Agency's secret surveillance program said Tuesday the panel is independent but flawed because only the government side is represented effectively in its deliberations. Joel says, indeed, and it is the judge's responsibility to represent the Constitution, and they refuse to do so. Continue with the quote. James Robertson is a former federal district judge based in Washington who served on the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court for 3 years, between 2002 and 2005. Robertson questioned whether the secret FISA court should provide overall legal approval for the surveillance program, saying the court has turned into something like an administrative agency, Joel says, meaning a shill for government. Robertson said he asked to join the FISA court to see what it was up to, as he had previously played a central role in national security law. He was the judge who ruled against the Bush administration in the landmark Hamdan versus Rumsfeld case, which granted inmates at the U.S. Naval Prison at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, the right to challenge their detention. The ruling was upheld by the Supreme Court in 2006. Robertson quit the FISA court in 2005, days after the New York Times revealed widespread NSA warrantless wiretapping under President George W. Bush's administration. Robertson had previously refused to explain his decision, but during a break in the hearing Tuesday, he confirmed for the first time to the Associated Press that he had resigned in protest because the Bush administration was bypassing the court on warrantless wiretaps. Joel notes, but he never went public with his protest, as he should have. Continue with the quote. But he warned that Congress's 2008 reform of the FISA system expanded the government's authority by forcing the court to approve entire surveillance systems, not just surveillance warrants, as it previously handled. Under the FISA changes, the court is now approving programmatic surveillance. I don't think that is a judicial function, he said. Joel notes, and never authorized by Congress and wouldn't have been constitutional even if it had, continues the quote. Robertson said that as the FISA court's role expanded, the system has failed to add authoritative legal adversaries who could act as effective checks on the government's programs and secret court proceedings. This process needs an adversary, Robertson said. Joel notes, yes, indeed, but still would not have made it constitutionally correct. End of the quote. Well, there's a catch-22 inherent here, where the spy victims can never win in court. Adam Liptak details the reasons why suits against government spying will never win, based upon how the courts rewrite the Constitution with impunity. Quote, Don Verrilli, Jr., the Obama administration's top appellate lawyer, argued before the Supreme Court that a challenge to a 2008 surveillance law should be dismissed. He said, a little comically in retrospect, that the human rights groups, lawyers, and reporters who sought to challenge the law had no particular reason to think their communications were being collected. The plaintiffs could not show they had been harmed by the surveillance program, he said, so they lacked standing to sue. Their fears, he said, were the product of a cascade of speculation. Joel says, the concept that you must be personally harmed before having standing to sue is a particularly egregious and ad hoc creation of the courts. Any citizen should be able to demand the court assess the constitutionality of any action of government or law based solely on constitutional doctrine. In fact, that is the ultimate purpose of having an independent judiciary branch of government. Continue with the quote. Mr. Verrilli's responses to the first several questions at the argument have turned out to be more problematic. He was asked whether a ruling in the government's favor would mean that no court could ever assess the constitutionality of the program. Is there anybody who has standing? Justice Sonia Sotomayor asked. Yes, said Mr. Verrilli, giving what he called a clear example. If the government wants to use information gathered under the surveillance program in a criminal prosecution, he said, the source of the information would have to be disclosed. The subjects of such surveillance, he continued, would then have standing to challenge the program. Joel says, incredibly, the court bought this argument lock, stock, and barrel, even though it was not written in any law nor admitted to by government. Continue with the quote. In February, in a 5-4 decision that split along ideological lines, the Supreme Court accepted Mr. Verrilli's assurances and ruled in his favor. Justice Samuel A. Alito, Jr., writing for the majority in the case, Clapper versus Amnesty International, all but recited Mr. Verrilli's representation. But the government reneged on its promise to inform. Federal prosecutors, apparently unaware of his representations, have refused to make the promised disclosures. Even when made aware of Verrilli's statement of the government's position, they refuse. By insisting that they need not disclose whether there had been surveillance under the 2008 law, the two sets of prosecutors have so far accomplished precisely what Mr. Verrilli said would not happen. They have immunized the surveillance program from challenges under the Fourth Amendment, which bans unreasonable searches and seizures. Joel says, catch 22. Another judge admitted that the FISA court was acting as a subset of the Supreme Court in secretly authorizing widespread domestic surveillance. Reuters says that a court has now ordered the declassification of that decision so the public can read it. Or can they? Quote, a secret court overseeing government surveillance programs has sided with Yahoo and ordered the Obama administration to declassify and publish a 2008 court decision justifying PRISM. Joel notes, the government claimed PRISM was only authorized in March of this year, another lie. The data collection program revealed last month by the former security contractor Edward J. Snowden. Judge Reggie Walton issued the ruling on Monday, and the government is expected to decide by August 26th which parts of the decision may be published, according to a separate court filing by the Justice Department. Publication could give a rare glimpse of how the government has legally justified data collection under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, end quote. Joel says, Don't expect to see the good stuff in whatever they decide to declassify. Well, there's also news about Snowden being forced to request asylum in Russia. With the U.S. successfully pressuring other nations not to allow NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden to overfly their territory and gain asylum in Latin America, Snowden was forced to appear for temporary asylum in Russia this week. Snowden had earlier refused Russia's asylum offer because of Putin's condition that he not leak any more evidence of U.S. spying to the world. Now, the Russians have left him no choice but to seek asylum in Russia. Russian President Putin wants Snowden to stay in Russia so he can muzzle him, gain additional disarmament concessions from the U.S. Union. Russia has already gained the propaganda value of the damaging revelations of U.S. spying. But now Putin gets to play the hero with people.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Centus, the uniformed people in Greeley, are saluting the police, firefighters, and paramedics and 9/11 dispatchers who work in our area. We thank them for doing a great job trying to keep our area a great place to live, shop, and raise a family. We realize their job is dangerous and sometimes thankless. This message is from Centus, the uniformed people in Greeley. They can be reached at 970-352-2233. On the air, because they care. Named one of the most admired outsourcing companies in America, Centus, the uniformed people.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Patriots, conservatives, and freedom fighters, we can give in, give up, or give it all you've got. Please join us to celebrate freedom during an evening with Larry Soloff, CEO and president of Breitbart.com, the nation's premier conservative news outlet. Saturday, July 20th, the Larimer County GOP will be hosting their annual Lincoln Day dinner at the Embassy Suites in Loveland at 6 p.m. There will be a silent auction as well as a live auction featuring Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan portraits. Emceeing the event will be Colorado's own homegrown rebel rouser, Kayla Bonham, last seen on Fox News with Neil Cavuto for his YouTube video featuring a thank you card to the IRS for targeting conservative political organizations. Tickets can be purchased for $50 per person by visiting LarimerGOP.org. That's LarimerGOP.org or call 970-224-2577. Come join us Saturday, July 20th for an eventful evening of dialogue with Larry Soloff, President and CEO of Breitbart.com and best friend to Andrew.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Look, Stan, I guess this morning, Andrew Skousen, World Affairs Brief. Andrew, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, and they get his books on strategic relocation, building a safe room, and the other information people need now to prepare for the very difficult times that are coming. Go right ahead, Andrew. Andrew, are you there?
Yes,
well, I'm wondering what's going on. Are we connected?
Yes. Can you hear me now, Dr. Stan?
Okay, yes. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Sorry about that. The best way is to log on to our website at worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can find an easy link to sign up to the World Affairs Brief. They can also ask for a one-time free copy of the brief by sending an email to editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they go to joelskousen.com, they can find descriptions and pictures of the covers of all of the books that we have out. The foremost, of course, is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which lays out the threats as well as the threats that we are expecting people to face in the future, as well as the best places to relocate in the U.S. to mitigate those threats and how to plan your own escape retreat options. That's all laid out in that book. After that, after people have a relocation in mind, they can possibly get one of our other books, The Secure Home, which details everything about security and alternate energy setups for a house, or just a single room in the house. They can purchase our book, The High Security Shelter, How to Implement a Multi-Purpose Safe Room in the Home. And all of these books are available through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Sam?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Ladies and gentlemen, begin to make your preparations. We're in for some very, very difficult times. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. Well, we are just discussing how Edward Snowden has been forced to request asylum in Russia, and how Russia is about to manipulate this event to their advantage. With the U.S. successfully pressuring other nations not to allow NSA whistleblower Ed Snowden to overfly their territory and gain asylum in Latin America, Snowden was forced to apply for temporary asylum in Russia. Snowden had earlier refused Russia's asylum offer because of Putin's condition that he not leak any more evidence of U.S. spying to the world. Now the Russians have left him no choice but to seek asylum in Russia. Russian President Putin wants Snowden to stay in Russia so he can muzzle him and gain additional disarmament concessions from the U.S. for doing so. Russia has already gained the propaganda value of the damaging revelations on U.S. spying. And now Putin gets to play the hero to his people for standing up to the U.S. and yet placates the U.S. under the table. Russia was one of the few nations that could have defied the U.S.-imposed air blockade of Snowden's flight to Latin America, but Russia has refused to help in that regard, knowing that this would force Snowden to stay in Russia, where he can be controlled as a favor to the U.S. It's not that Russia is our friend, but that Russia desperately wants more U.S. unilateral disarmament before it launches its long-awaited preemptive strike on the West, which is still some years away. Der Spiegel said that Snowden's activist status largely united a deeply divided society in Russia. Quote, whether conservative or liberal, anti or pro-American, Putin supporter or opponent, they have all voiced support for granting him asylum. End quote. So while Putin is expected to reap a windfall of popular support by helping Snowden, he's doing it more to both seduce the U.S. into more arms concessions and also to make the U.S. out to be the bully of the world, which ultimately justifies a future attack on the U.S. The Sleuth Journal noted that the world seems to be longing for someone to stand up to U.S. bullying, something that Joel has been saying for years, and which U.S. globalists are actively exacerbating this feeling in order to help Russia justify their attack on America, which the globalists want so they can force Americans in the aftermath of an attack to support a militarized New World Government. The Sleuth Journal, quote, Russia's mass circulation, Komsomolskaya Pravda, craved Putin's support. Putin, who wants people believing Russia remains a superpower, it's proud and reassertive. It's not about to roll over for Washington. It's able to confront U.S. policymakers effectively. At the same time, delicate balancing is important, Joel notes, until Russia gets the concessions they want. He wants no further bilateral deterioration. Short term doesn't matter. Longer term, good relations are valued. Joel says, no, long-term deception is the key. The Sleuth Journal has a leftist bent and doesn't see Russia as the future enemy it is. Putin holds more Trump cards than Obama. America's influence is waning. It's slow but perceptible. No one likes a bully. Washington makes more enemies than friends, end quote. Well, let's switch stories now, Dr. Stan, and we'll talk now about the Zimmerman acquittal and aftermath. This is a story that we have purposely not played up much in the brief because it has been addressed to excess in the local news, we feel. But there are a couple of key points that need to be noted to help people understand what's going on with this. After George Zimmerman was acquitted in the self-defense shooting death of black teen Trayvon Martin this week, there were suspicious aspects to the organized rioting in major cities across the country. Joel says, I say organized because of most of the protest signs were pre-printed and handed out to the mostly black protesters. The federal government clearly had a hand in provoking this unrest, even as Obama makes statements about respecting the jury verdict. What is even more disturbing is that a few blacks are retaliating against innocent whites and Hispanics. Michael T. Snyder of End of the American Dream cites several incidents of retaliation resulting from the whipped-up frenzy over Zimmerman's acquittal. Quote, according to police in Senatobia, Mississippi, a man who says he was jogging alongside of a road when three black men abducted and beat him claims the alleged attack was in retaliation for George Zimmerman's acquittal. Christian Hartsock, a conservative journalist and filmmaker, says he was assaulted and beaten down to the ground by a mob with repeated strikes to the face while reporting at a Trayvon Martin rally in downtown Oakland Sunday night. Baltimore, several black males and two black females chasing a 37-year-old Hispanic man. One of the boys had a handgun out and it was pointed at the back of the man. They caught up to the man, and the male with the gun beat the victim with what appeared to be his gun, while others kicked and stomped him. After that, they started yelling, "This is for Trayvon!" expletive. And in some cases, police refused to call these retaliation attacks hate crimes. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is facing accusations that it covered up a hate crime by denying that the murder of two brothers in a parking lot on Sunday night was related to the Trayvon Martin case, despite the fact that there was a sticker on the brother's truck which read, "Free Zimmerman." End quote. Both the feds and the media are continuing to exacerbate this case and foment racial unrest. Here's what the feds are doing. The government is actively seeking to undermine the jury verdict by hinting at a possible civil rights probe over hate crime, thus playing at the race card.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering our high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath.
Hi, I'm Double A Aaron at Ehrlich Toyota on Highway 34 and 47th Avenue in Greeley. We offer a great selection of new and used vehicles at very competitive prices. I wanted to support the unique programming on this very important radio station and convince the dealership to help me. Give me a shot at earning your business when considering your next vehicle. I will treat you fairly and give you the respect I would want. Call me, Double A Aaron, at Ehrlich Toyota at 970-339-3900. That's 970-339-3900.
Well, we're talking about the Zimmerman trial and aftermath here. And it seems that the feds are actively seeking to undermine the jury verdict by hinting at possible civil rights probes over hate crimes, thus playing up the race card, even though the FBI investigation found that race was not an issue. The Department of Justice just won't take no for an answer. According to Fox News, quote, "The Justice Department has responded to appeals to probe whether George Zimmerman committed any civil rights violations in the fatal shooting of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. But previously filed FBI documents are already challenging the narrative that the shooting was racially motivated. Sanford Police Detective Chris Serino told FBI agents last year that after examining the case, it appeared Zimmerman was suspicious of Martin because of his attire, the local circumstances of the encounter, and the previous burglary suspects in the community. Serino told the FBI there had been several burglaries in the area and that gang members in the community typically dressed in black and wore hoodies. According to the document, Serino considered Zimmerman as having a little hero complex, but not as a racist. McClatchy also has reported on another set of documents that show FBI agents interviewed dozens of people in the course of probing possible racial bias, but nobody would say Zimmerman showed such bias before the shooting. Still, the Justice Department agreed to requests from NAACP President Benjamin Todd Jealous and several lawmakers to keep investigating the defendant," end quote. Joel says, "The department is on shaky ground and may itself be viewed as biased because of the prior interviews which found no evidence of bias from George Zimmerman." Well, let's look at how the media portrayed the story. It's obvious that the media was beating the drums of propaganda about the Zimmerman trial far beyond its legal importance, indicating that there was an agenda behind not only the prosecution, but also a need to create outrage when the acquittal came. When the Department of Justice sends down hired professionals just after the shooting to provoke outrage about the confrontation and subsequent death of Trayvon Martin, as we reported in last week's brief, we can tell they are playing the race card. The media not only worked hard to present a picture of a weak Trayvon Martin and a big, bullying Zimmerman, they were also complicit in downplaying Martin's past criminal record, which was laced with numerous thefts. Sadly, his own school had a permissive policy of not bringing charges against school criminals like Martin. According to the American Spectator, quote, "The February 2012 shooting death of 17-year-old Trayvon Martin might never have happened if school officials in Miami-Dade County had not instituted an unofficial policy of treating crimes as school disciplinary infractions. Revelations that emerged from an internal affairs investigation explain why Martin was not arrested when caught at school with stolen jewelry in October of 2011 or with marijuana in February of 2012. Instead, the teenager was suspended from school, the last time just days before he was shot dead by George Zimmerman," end quote. Rem Reeder of USA Today wrote about the role the media distortion took in this case. Quote, "Early media images of a young Trayvon Martin helped shape coverage. The storyline quickly took root, amplified by the nearly ubiquitous images of the two. A sweet-looking photo of a several years younger Martin released by his family, and a mugshot of Zimmerman from a previous arrest in which he looks puffy and downcast. The contrasting images powerfully reinforced the images of the menacing bully and the innocent victim. NBC News edited Zimmerman's comments during the phone call to inaccurately suggest that he volunteered that Martin seemed suspicious because he was black. In fact, Zimmerman was responding to a question when he mentioned the teenager's race." Similarly, ABC News broadcast a story reporting that a police surveillance video showed no evidence that Zimmerman suffered abrasions or bled during the confrontation with Martin. Shortly thereafter, it quote-unquote clarified the situation, reporting that an enhanced version of the video showed Zimmerman with an injury to the back of his head, end quote. Well, we think one of the critical points about this case is that one of the main targets of this case, including the racial tension about it, is to draw negative attention to Florida's Stand Your Ground law. This law was specifically passed to counter the prevailing legal doctrine preferred by liberals that an armed citizen must make every effort to retreat before he can use deadly force. The latter doctrine severely undermines the right to self-defense and puts a person at an extreme disadvantage by having to turn his back on an intruder and try to retreat. Florida lawmakers correctly said that when a citizen is confronted with a threat to his life and property, he has no obligation to retreat, but can stand his ground and use deadly force to defend himself. Florida has one of the highest percentages of concealed weapon permit holders in the nation. Since the trial, Attorney General Eric Holder has been actively preaching against this law, claiming it leads to more violence. So we tell conservatives everywhere to watch for efforts to repeal these laws in your state legislatures and be prepared with the arguments to defend this critical safeguard for concealed weapons holders. Well, Dr. Stan, what do you think about this case here?
Well, I think that we have a real problem. I think that this is certainly being used to justify certainly taking ever more power to the federal government and monitoring the American people. And there should be a great outcry, but we're being told, oh, it's for your good. We're here to protect you. And ladies and gentlemen, the people who are doing this have no loyalty to America. Their loyalty is to the globalist dream. What are your thoughts, Andrew?
That's right. And it seems like with this Trayvon Martin issue that the race card is really being played up here, and it has been for a long time. In fact, it seems that the state attorney was complicit in this. Sanford police looked at the evidence of Zimmerman's injuries in his violent struggle with the athletic 17-year-old Martin and declined to prosecute Zimmerman. But someone else higher up had an agenda to pursue, and so that decision was overturned. That person was State Attorney Angela Corey, who charged him with second-degree murder after the media made a huge issue of the neighborhood watch killing and government-induced street protests. Joel says, I suspect she got the proverbial phone call in the night from someone in the Department of Justice. Corey then showed her prejudice throughout the investigative and trial process, as noted by reporter David Bauerling. Quote, in January, Information Technology Director Ben Krubos used computer software technology to extract photographs and text messages from the source file in Martin's cell phone. Krubos was able to recover more information than the Florida...
Hold the thought, Andrew. We're out of time. God bless. We won't be with you next week. We're taking the week off, and then we'll be with you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to GreatPlainsSolar.com. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for Amikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Well, Dr. Stan, as far as the Trevor Martin case is concerned, this is all an organized effort are to create racial dissension, to turn black against white, to give the black people the feeling they can't get a fair trial here in America, and certainly the white man's going to get off killing certainly the black, even though Hernandez basically Zimmerman's grandfather was black, and he's Hispanic, and he is not white. But that doesn't really matter. It's all a matter of focusing our attention on the wrong issues. And basically, there is discrimination against blacks. Water fluoridation is designed to give blacks lead encephalopathy. They have a very much higher level of lead in the blood of children when they drink water fluoridated with hydrofluosilicic acid. The largest study ever done in America was done on 450,000 children, and they checked to find out the level of lead in the blood of children in the areas where they fluoridated with hydrofluosilicic acid, where they didn't. And you can directly correlate that with criminal activity, which is why, in my estimation, one in three young black men, 21 to 31, is in prison, probation, or parole today, is because they react much more to the hydrofluosilicic acid than the whites do, and this is all been correlated by Dr. Roger Masters at Dartmouth, and not a word in the media, and certainly not a word from Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson speaking out against this program of damaging the minds of the black population of our community. And you need to get this information, and you need to help us get it out. If you find it on the internet, Dr. Roger Masters, water fluoridation, certainly the encephalopathy and increased criminal activity in the areas where, of course, they are poisoning the blacks with hydrofluosilicic acid. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we do have outlets all across the country. We're fortunate to have an outreach to almost 50 radio stations every week. So if you can join the Radio Liberty family, we ask you to give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to get our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or to get our talk on things like Agenda 21, the covert plan, or population control, the secret agenda. Get this information and help us to get it out. Of course, again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, you can go there, you can listen to our programs on the internet 5 hours a day or 4 hours a day on certainly at that site. And then, of course, you can watch our DVDs, you can read our newsletters, and we do hope that, of course, you'll help us get the information out across America. America is under attack, not from without. This whole thing on terrorism, we're funding the terrorists. Who is funding the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Syria? We are, your tax dollars. But we funded the terrorist movement just as we funded the communist movement, just as we funded the Nazi movement. You have to have an enemy. And when you understand this, it all makes sense. And that, of course, is what they're doing, this Trevor Martin case. Simply divide and conquer so they can control. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-7000.